the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Father, thank you so much for your many blessings, Lord, for all those that are here this morning. Father, I pray that we would be so attentive to your word this morning. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would truly speak to each and every one of us. That we would leave here encouraged and uplifted, walking in victory. We pray it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, today's message, I'm not really going to be preaching at y'all, okay? This is, I hope, more of a message of encouragement, more of a message to help us. It's something that I actually talked with the youth about a few weeks ago. It's something that I think I may have even mentioned up here. But learning to pray specifically and then believing that God's answering those prayers, okay? Because, I think sometimes, when we pray, we just kind of pray and leave it open-ended. You know, we're not really praying specifically. We're not really praying expecting an answer, expecting to hear God. And so, throughout the Bible, there's times that people prayed specifically. And in all that, it's knowing God's will. And knowing that we're praying for God's will in our life, that we're praying and that God's will be done. In the first verse, is Romans 12:2. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And so, today it's kind of two part. It's knowing God's will and learning to recognize it with specific prayer. Okay? And so, we've talked a lot about renewing our minds and everything, so I don't want to focus on that too much, but our mind does need to be right with God, okay? And to know God's will in our life, to know what God's good and pleasing perfect will is, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I question, God, is this your will or is that your will? You know, there's certain things that it's like, okay, there's no question, you do drugs. No, that's not God's will. You know, do you have an affair? No, that's not God's will. There's things that's real apparent, but when it seems like there's two good things and knowing God's will, sometimes it can get confusing. First, I want to tell you that God's will never lead you into sin. Okay? God's will never, if you're saying this is God's will for my life and it's leading you into sin, then you're being deceived. God's will never go against His Word. If you think God is taking you in a direction that's contradictory to the Word of God, then it's not God's will. And you guys might say, okay, Pete, that's pretty easy, but it's not. My aunt, who's passed away now, it was my great aunt, and she came to church here for the last 6 months or year of her life. But when she was younger, her husband didn't go to church with her, and she went to church. And she was she was Pentecostal and very spirit-filled lady. And she's going to this church, and there's a single man there. Well, he's a godly man, and this single man begins to look pretty good to her. And she says, God has told me to divorce my husband and marry this man. And my grandpa, who was her brother, said, if I believe God told you to divorce your husband and marry that man, I don't even know if I believe in God. She got mad and wouldn't speak to him. She divorced her husband, married that man, and was married to him for several years. And they led church and they did all these wonderful things in church. But then her husband found another lady at church that he thought looked pretty good to him and ended up leaving her for that other lady at church. Y'all, that's not God in any way, form, or fashion. The Bible said God hates divorce. God's not telling you to leave your husband, to leave your wife for anybody else, or He's not going to lead you into any sin. So if you're feeling like something is God's will, and I will tell you that my aunt, in the years when she started coming to church here and we got to know each other once again and built a good relationship, she told me one day, she said, "Now looking back, I seen how deceived I was." She said, "At the time when I was in it, I was so convinced that God was leading me in that." She said, "I was blind." But looking back, she recognized that she was not in God's will, that that was not God's will for her life. And she repented and asked God to forgive her of it, and she regretted it. But how the enemy can blind us. So I'm going to tell you, God's not going to tell you to do anything that's contrary to His Word. James 1, 13 and 14 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed." And so I want you to think about that. When we're looking at God's will, really challenge yourself. Is this holy? Is this God? Or is this my desire? Is this what I want? We'll get into that a little more maybe in a minute, but in prayer, this is something I struggle with, okay? Because I'm praying for something so specifically, and I want something to happen, and when it doesn't, I try to justify it in my mind. Okay, well, maybe, you know, because I want what I want. And many of us are that way. We try to pray and we try to manipulate circumstances and things to say, okay, this is God's will, just when really it's our desire and it's what we want. So God's not going to lead us into that. Isaiah 59:2, okay, this is something important. So when we're making when we're making decisions, when we're being led, is it the Holy Spirit or is it us? Learning to hear God's voice, okay? Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities has separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you." I think it's important to read this because this is the Word of God. This isn't me, okay? But part of recognizing the will of God and praying specifically for God in circumstances in your life is if your life is full of iniquity, if your iniquity is sin, okay, it's repeat rebellion, if your life is full of that, it separated you from God. And it says that God will not hear you. So some of us were praying for things in our life and we're saying, "God's not answering my prayers," but we're living in rebellion, we're living in sin. What does the Word of God says? He's not hearing you. Now God always, always hears the prayers of a sinner confessing and repenting, okay? I don't want you to misunderstand. If you're living in sin, you're living in rebellion right now, and you want God to forgive you, and you're going to cry out this morning and repent and turn from your sins, and you're crying out to God, God's going to hear those prayers. But He's saying when you're praying and you're living in sin, you're living in iniquity, this ain't Pete saying this. This is the Word of God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. It's repeated again in Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Okay, so it's real important for you to understand and me to understand when we're praying for things in our life. Are we living in sin? Are we living in rebellion? Is that why maybe God seems so silent and He's not hearing our prayers? Okay? I'm not trying to beat you up this morning. I'm trying to get you to where we all need to be, where I need to be, where you need to be. And it's not living in sin, and it's not saying that, oh, well, God's just going to forgive me. Everything's all good. No, that we need to get this out of our life, okay? And so then when we're making these big decisions, is it the Holy Spirit leading us or is it me? Okay, is God really listening to me, or am I in so much rebellion and so much sin? God's not hearing me right now. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now, some of y'all probably have real recognizable voices, you know. And some of you, if you know, I've been in Walmart before, and I can hear somebody's voice a few aisles over, and you're like, I know who that is, because their voice is, you recognize it so much, right? Well, you know, that's how we should be with our Heavenly Father, that we know His voice, that we recognize His voice. Okay? Okay, here we go. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I believe we need to confess our sins. We need to repent of our sins. We need to listen for God's voice, and then have faith that God will answer, because in all our ways we're acknowledging Him. Okay? Because if we're walking in all our ways acknowledging God, then we learn to hear His voice, we learn to recognize His voice, and then we know and we can trust. But how many of us, when we pray, we really don't expect to hear God answer? We really don't expect to hear from God. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? That really speaks to me, y'all, because my kids, I'm not going to give them evil. I'm not going to give them something that you know, they ask for bread, or they ask for something. I'm not handing them a snake. Would any of y'all do that to your kids? Would any of y'all do evil to your kids? So why do we think our Heavenly Father is any different with us? Why do we not expect to hear from our Heavenly Father? If your kids ask you for something, do you not give them a yes or no? I mean, sometimes I gotta admit, I block my kids out and I'm just like, oh, they asked something? I missed it. God's not like me though. He's not blocking you out. He's ready to listen. I'm not going to give my kids a snake, scorpion, spider, whatever, you know. I'm not going to do that. So why do we think our Heavenly Father is just up there ignoring us or going to give us something evil? But it says that ask and it will be given to you. You know, sometimes I get going and I forget to ask. I really do. This week, I'm going through some stuff at home right now, and this message is for me, okay? It's God speaking to me, and it's been on my mind, but I'm going through some stuff, and I was talking to my family about something, and an hour later, after the conversation's over, it's like God hit me upside the head and said, you didn't say to pray! You didn't say! That should be the number one thing! Pray! Ask God! Well, duh. Like, I'm so dumb. Yeah, of course that's the first thing, but I'm sitting here manipulating things. Well, you should be doing this, or think about this, and think about that. We won't know that God's answered if we're not asking. So ask. Seek. You know, if you got homework or something that you're trying to figure out, do you not seek and look at it? We went and bought flowers yesterday, and oh, that's so exciting, buying flowers. but you know what? Our backyard, we have no shade. And so everything we plant in our backyard needs to be full sun. And so we might see this beautiful flower, but you know what? Crystal would pull the little thing out and look at it. Is it full sun or not? Because if it's not full sun, it's going to die really quick. We have to plant things that's full sun. So we're just not going through there and saying, oh, that looks pretty, I'm going to get it. And this looks pretty, I'm going to get it. No, she seeks out, is this something that can grow? Is this something that's going to have life in our backyard? Okay, that's something simple. That's something easy. That's a flower. And Crystal will take the time to read the little tag to make sure. How many of us with things in our life, things that may be critical, things that we really need an answer, that we really need God's guidance, do we really seek Him? Do we really sit down and take this and just say, God, show me. God, speak to me. And we take time. Not our 5-minute lunch devotional, not our quick prayer as we're heading out the door, but we figure out and we look up scriptures and we say, Lord, speak to me. Because I need to know Your will. God, I want to hear Your voice. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. That knocking may be consistency. It may be, God, I need to hear. It's not just the one-time quick thing. It's God, I'm truly seeking You. I'm here and I'm ready to listen. Y'all, to know God's will, to get the sin, to get the garbage out of our lives, and then to truly seek Him and trust that He's going to answer, that He's going to give us something good. Because He's not giving us a snake. He's not giving us a stone. He's giving us something good. But are we willing to truly ask, to truly seek? Let's go back to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And I actually kind of preached around this a few weeks ago, talking about Gideon and his... And when God said He had too many men and everything, but we didn't really concentrate on this so much. Judges 6, verse 36. Gideon said to God, if You will save Israel by My hand, as You have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that You will save Israel by My hand, as You said. Okay, he's talking about a major thing, right? He's going to battle. It's war. He's talking about a big, big thing here. And of course, he's wanting to know for sure, God, is this You? God, are you going to do this through me? And so he asks for something that seems almost impossible. If there's dew on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I'll know. Y'all, I believe in our prayer life that we need to begin to pray so specific that we know that we know that it's God. He says, verse 38, and that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew. A bowl full of water. That's exactly what happened. God answered his prayer. He squeezed it out and there was a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew. That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. So he asked God twice, and he prayed really specific. Y'all, how many of you, with your prayers, do you pray that specific? Oh God, protect my family. Oh God, help so-and-so that's sick. Help so-and-so that's sick. Right? That's most of our prayers. That's my prayers. God, help Keaton as he's traveling. God, you know, be with Tom and Sharon. They're sick, not doing well. That's my prayers. But to get to the point of saying, God, if this is Your will, then have that person call me. God, if this is Your will, then I'm going to get a text. God, if this is Your will, You're going to provide the money. I don't know where it's come from, but you're going to provide the money. And if the money's not provided, then I know that I'm not supposed to do this. If I don't get that phone call, then I know I'm not supposed to make that decision. I'm not supposed to be with that person. I'm not supposed to take that job. That we pray so specifically that we know that it's God. Do we have enough faith to do that? Do we have enough faith? And then when it happens, do we trust? Do we believe if we don't get that phone call? Well, maybe my phone's not working. We don't get that text. Well, I'm in a bad signal area. Is that not what we do? We try to manipulate things. He was so specific. And many of us, I believe, we need to begin to pray that specific in our life over the decisions that we're going to make. Genesis 24, and this is what I talked with the youth about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Genesis 24, verse 1. Abraham was now old and well advanced in his years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. So he's saying, I want you to find a wife for my son, but not from the people that we're living in, not from all these people that we see every day, but go back to the country where I'm from. Verse 5, the servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? That sounds pretty reasonable, right? If a woman won't come with me, then what if I just take him back there and he can kind of check out the landscape, they can see him, he can see her, whatever, you know, and maybe you can find a wife that way. That seems like a sensible thing to do. But what did Abraham say? Make sure that you do not take my son back there, Abraham said. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, To your offsprings I will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. You hear what he said? He's going to send an angel before you to make sure that this gets done. Do we ever think the power in our prayer, the power that God has when we're truly seeking Him, that His angels could be going before us setting things up? I mean, think about that. I'm not beating y'all up this morning. This should be exciting to us that God loves us so much, that He cares about us so much, that He can be ordaining and orchestrating things, and things that we worry and things that we fret, and these heavy burdens that we carry. And what have we talked about? Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And to understand and just pray and cry out and say, Heavenly Father, guide me and direct me. Give me success. And to know that He could be sending His angels out before us. To know that. Jump down to verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left them, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. I want to jump down a little further. Verse 12. Then he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So Abraham had been praying specifically, take my son, or go find my son a wife. Okay? But then the servant prayed specifically, God, when I find a girl that offers me a drink and then offers to water all my camels too, then I'm going to know that I have success. Do we pray like that? I mean, really, do we pray like that? Do we pray so specific? God, if this is your will, and then trust and believe. Trust and believe. And you can read on in the story that he finds a woman and he says, well, let's just jump down. Verse 15, before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with a jar on her shoulder. Rebecca comes out. It says that the girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking. I was talking to the youth about this, and I honestly meant to look it up today, but my understanding is that a camel that's thirsty drinks gallons and gallons of water. I meant to look it up. Does anybody know how much a camel drinks? It's a lot of water. So this wasn't just like an easy little task of filling up a 5-gallon bucket and I've taken care of the camels. No, she said, I'll fill it till your camels have their fill. Specific praying. Do we trust God enough to pray that way? God, if this is a man for me, God, if this is a woman for me, God, if this is a job for me, God, if this is what you want me to do, you line it up. You take care of it. Do we pray that way? Or is it just those light little, okay, God, take care of this, bless that person, do this. Matthew 6:8 says, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. God knows what we need. So why do we ask? So we know that it's God. So we know that it's God answering. Psalms 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Are we calling to God in truth? Are we calling to God, seeking God? Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Y'all, do we pray and not doubt? Do we have faith and truly believe that God can set up the circumstances to meet our needs? Okay, there's so much more that we could go to, but God's will. Are we praying for God's will? I went over that if there's sin, if there's iniquity in your life, confess, repent of it, or God's not hearing you. It's separating you. Okay? The prayer of a sinner repenting, though, God's going to hear. So make sure you're not walking in sin. And then let's get specific with our prayers and have faith enough that God's going to answer and not doubt, not waver, but truly believe that God's going to answer. And we don't have time to cover all the questions, but what about when God says no? You know, God does say no sometimes, and one of the best examples of that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul's praying for the thorn in his flesh to be removed, it says, three times I pleaded with God. But what did he say? My grace is sufficient. Okay? Sometimes God's answer is no. As you as a parent, is the answer no sometimes to your kids? Yeah. Sometimes you're saying no because you know what's best. To be persistent, though. Luke 18 talks about the persistent widow and not doubting. Okay? I encourage you to be persistent. Go home and read Luke 18. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about the answer is no, about Luke 18 about being persistent. And James 1 talks again about the man that doubts, and he says that that man should not think he'll receive anything, for he's double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. If you feel like God hasn't been hearing your prayers, this is a good place to start. We'll get this sermon posted online in the coming weeks when Tim gets back. Listen to it again, but maybe not even listen to this sermon again, but maybe going home and open up your Bible and search it out for yourself. And spend some time with God. If you're struggling in an area, if you're caught up in an area, if you don't know God's will in an area in your life. Like I said, some things are easy. Do I steal? Do I murder? Do I rob? Do I commit adultery? Those are easy. No! But some things, it's too good pass, it seems. And God, which would you have me take? God, who are you going to put in my way that I'll know that it's your will? Begin to pray so specific that it can't be explained other than God. Other than God. One of my favorite stories is this church. And God, I felt like, told me that we would be debt-free within 5 years. And we weren't. We had a mountain of debt here. And I thought, with them not paying me and the money that instead of paying a preacher, we can put towards the building and we'll get out from underneath this debt and it should only take us 5 years. And I felt like God had really placed that in my heart. And 5 years had come and we still owe $130,000 on this place. And it's like, Lord, did I not hear you right? I don't understand. And then, what did God do? He laid it upon a man's heart and he wrote a check. And the church is paid for just like that. See, in my mind, I'm thinking, we'll double up on the payments and we'll do this and we'll do that. And you see what I'm... You hear all those, we will, we will, we will? God says, no, I'll take care of it. To Him be the glory. Y'all, we need to start praying so that it's not we, so that it's God receiving the glory. God, you set this up in my life. God, you take care of this. God, please help me with this circumstance because I can't do it on my own. And God, if the answer is no, I'm going to trust that the answer is no. If it's yes, then I'm going to know that I know that I know that it's you. Because you caused that phone call. You caused that text message. You caused that letter. You caused that money to come in that I didn't know was coming in. Because God, you are awesome. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we wouldn't forget to pray. That prayer would not be our last option or our final hope, but Father, that it would be the first thing that we would do in every circumstance, in every situation. Father, that we would learn to know your voice, that we would hear your voice clearly. And Father, that we would pray. Pray in such a way that we would know that you are opening the doors, that you are shutting the doors, that you are making the way so that you would receive all the honor and glory. Father, if there's any in here that maybe they've been living in that sin and that iniquity, Lord, right now that you would convict their hearts, that they would repent, that they would turn from that. Father, if there's any here this morning that's needing a miracle in their life, that there's a situation, there's a circumstance that they just feel like there's no way out, may they cry out to You this morning. May they understand that You're a loving Father and that You want to give us the good gifts. And Father, that when You answer, that we would trust and believe. That our own desires, that our own flesh would not get in the way, that we would trust and believe that Your good and perfect will is being done, even when we don't understand. Father, may You encourage everyone in here. May we begin to pray in such a way and believe that Your angels are going out before us. Lord, that we would lean not on our own understanding, as Proverbs says, that we would lean not on our own understanding, but trust in You in all our ways, acknowledge You in all our ways. May there be encouragement this morning, that our prayer life might be renewed, that we might see You work. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, anything specific, I encourage you to come to these altars and pray. If you'd like me to pray with you, I'd be more than happy to. The altars are open.
Have Your way. Have Your way. Holy Spirit, come and have Your way.
I trust that you guys are encouraged and that your prayer life will grow this week. And I was reminded as I was down there singing and worshiping that how clouded sometimes we can get. And I remember I was a young Christian and it must have been around the year 2000 or so, and I saw this 72 Chevy pickup truck in Van Buren for sale. And that truck was beautiful, and I wanted that truck. And I had a car, and Crystal had a car. I traded in my truck on her car because she needed something dependable for the kids and everything. And I seen this truck, and I wanted that truck so bad, but I couldn't afford it. And I kept trying to justify in my mind, okay, if this happens, then I'm going to get that truck, and that didn't happen. And if this happens, then I'm going to get that truck, and that didn't happen. And finally, the guy said, well, I'll take your car as a trade. That should have probably gave me an indication about that truck, okay? Oh, God set this up. He's going to take my car for part of the money, and I only got to get a loan for this, and God must have set this up. No lie. I picked up that truck in Industrial Park in Van Buren. I don't know how many of y'all know where it is, but as soon as you cross the river, you take the first exit, and it's right there. I no more got to the other side of the bridge. I didn't even make it to Kelly Highway, and the truck overheated on me. Got it cooled off, got it home. Y'all, that was the worst decision I ever made. That truck, I had to drive it every day. It got like 9 miles an hour. If I was a good day, 11 miles an hour to the gallon of gas. It was horrible. It sucked gas, and it was always overheating. And the guy had bore out the engine. It had a big old cam in it. And at stoplights, I'd have to pop it up in neutral or turn it off because it would overheat. And I said, God set this up for me. God didn't set that up for me. That was my desire. I wanted that truck. It's learning when it's God or when it's us. And when God says no, don't manipulate. It's no. When God says wait, wait. Don't manipulate. Wait. Let's learn to trust and pray and then accept the answer for what it is. Y'all have a good week. We will have Bible study tonight at 6:30.